Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful time in your presence. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The Lord is good. And I want everybody to say, and his mercy endureth forever. Let's try that again. The Lord is good. And his mercy. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Put your hands together for the Lord. We give you praise, Lord, here this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, one time, David, you know, when he saw the ark coming back, he took off that kingly robe and he began to get down. Praise God. Yeah, he loved to praise the Lord, and the Lord chose his throne for that, you know, to sit upon. You know, and, you know, so I love to praise the Lord, you know, and so forth like that. Not just today, but every day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I don't want you to think the service is over yet. That was just a praise session.
Amen.
I'm going to preach now. Amen. Praise God. You know, how many of you would love to hear the word of the Lord? If you do, say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this morning, I want to share something with us from the word of God. And my message is, the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. You know, that's my message this morning. But before I start, you know, let me just read to you some prophecies in the Word of God and how they all came to pass. Well, we know the whole world is celebrating Christmas and so forth, which they say they're celebrating the birth of Christ. But I want to tell you something, that Jesus was born to die. Amen? I don't think you heard me. I said Jesus was born to die. That's the reason he came. You know, as far as Jesus is concerned, he wants us to celebrate his death and his resurrection more than his birth. In fact, he told the disciples, said, as often as you do this, he didn't say, remember, you know, my birth. He said, but remember the fact that my blood is shed for you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. I'm not any kind of Scrooge. You know, set that record straight. You know, I love Christmas time, every time of the year. Praise God. But I also love the fact that, look, the Word was made flesh. And I'm going to be sharing that with us this morning. And, you know, Jesus, you know, let me say something right away, right off the bat, you know, to us here. You know, some of you are still looking for him in a stable. one time they went and looked, after his resurrection, they went and looked for him in the grave, and the angels appeared to them and said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Well, you know, the Lord told me last night, you know, I had my mind on this message, and he said, why seek ye the King of Kings still in a stable? Amen?
Amen?
It's not in that stable anymore, folks. I got news for everybody. You know, that was then, but this is now. He is not in the stable anymore. He's not wrapped in a manger, wrapped in all of that stuff. No, he's not that anymore. I'm going to prove it to you from the scriptures this morning. But let's go here to Micah. I'm going to start from Micah. And I just want to read chapter 5 of Micah and verse 2. And in this prophecy, which of course was fulfilled by Christ, you know, here's what the Bible had to say about him. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. But just so you don't think it's one of those great rulers, you know, because from time to time, you know, various rulers and some magnificent speakers and so forth, they rise and they do wonderful things and so forth. Just so you don't think he's talking about any one of those people, you know, he qualifies the person that he's talking about. Whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting. Can you get a picture? There's only one person. Whose goings have been from of old and from everlasting, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that prophecy, we see that prophecy was fulfilled by Christ. You know, point blank, it was fulfilled by Christ. And let me read this to you of what, you know, of course, you know, when the angels It's part of the story that was, you know, that was read to us today in Luke chapter 1. Continuing on, you know, we find that, after about the sixth month that Elizabeth herself was pregnant, the angel Gabriel was sent from God, and he went and found this virgin, a young lady called Mary, and he began to speak to her, you know, concerning how God was going to bring this prophecy to pass that we just read. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, "And the angel said unto Mary, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." Remember, there shall come forth one that is going to be ruler in Israel, whose goings have been from of old. You know, he shall be, you know, rule, and of his kingdom, he said, there shall be no end. You know, and then of course Mary said, well, you know, how is this thing going to be? I don't know a man yet, and so forth like that. And she said, don't worry about that. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that's going to overshadow him. Therefore, that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Living God. That's right. And listen to what, in verse 38, listen to what Mary said. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." You know, so Mary, she believed the thing that was spoken to her by the angel. And she took that word in. And she aligned herself with that word and said, "Let it be unto me according to thy word." And that was how that word began to become flesh in her. In the book of John, chapter 1, that was just a background. This is where I'm going with this message this morning. In the book of John, chapter 1, and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light," just like we heard today, those who are sitting in darkness, the Bible says, "Behold, those that sit in darkness have seen a great light. And the light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not." That's verse 5. Well, let's jump to verse 9. Of John chapter 1. "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, yet the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him." Hello? "As many as received him, and as many as do receive him today, he gave, and he still gives, the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood," see, "and not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, even as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, and he was full of grace and truth." The Word was made flesh. Right away we see that there was substance. The Word became a substance. I mean, it wasn't just something abstract that you couldn't touch. It was something that you could touch. It became flesh. And he said, look, he dwelt among us, and we actually beheld his glory. Now, I want to take you back to the beginning of this chapter. In the beginning was the Word. Now, anything that is of God must begin with the Word of God. Can I get an amen on that? That's right. Anything that is of God, it must have its roots and its origin from the Word of God. You know, and And in fact, you know, it is the word of God that created all things. And there is nothing yet that was made that was not made by his word. We're told that's right there in John chapter 1 and verse 3. All things were made by this word. And there is nothing that was not made without him. But you see, everything, see, and that's the beginning of God's direction in your life. It's got to start with the word of God. If you go outside the word of God, then you try to, you know, bring God in, you know, circle the wagons and bring him in to fit into your program. That's not going to work. We have to start with the word of God. That's the original seed. You know, it's the word of God. You know, the word of God is where it all begins. They say, in the beginning was the word. I mean, so we see that our word, you know, is what begins and what begins to, what begins to lead for the will of God. Jesus himself said, I came forth and proceeded out of God. So, you know, we see that. Now, you say the word of God becomes flesh? Why, absolutely. You know, let me take you back to the story in case some of you are looking for a good story. You know, the story how he was born in a manger and so forth. I don't want to concentrate about that at all this morning because he told me last night, you know, that what I need to tell the folks this morning is in the book of Revelation chapter 1. And I want you to turn to it. You know, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, when he appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, and this is what he had to say about himself, you know, because this is not, you know, this is not the baby in the manger anymore. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. This is what he said about himself. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending. Saith the Lord, which is, that's like, you know, the Lord is eternal. And which was, whose goings have been from of old. And which is to come, the Almighty. Can I get an amen on that? You know, so I don't want you to be looking for him in the stable. When he came as the Son of Man, in fact, most of the time he said, look, you know, I am the Son of Man. He called himself Son of Man. He didn't call himself, the Bible said, look, even though he knew he was equal with God, he didn't grab at that position. He just became nothing in the book of Philippians chapter 2. So we know that. He called himself Son of Man and so forth, you know, and, you know, he just made himself of no reputation. And that's how he came. And we preached on this message last week that the things which God, which are high, you know, which are despised among men, those are the things that God chooses. And we saw how he came through the stable and all of that. You know, but, you know, so one time during his, you know, all of the time that he has been with his disciples and so forth, you know, so finally one day he says to his disciples, he said, look, you know, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Remember, he said, I, the Son of Man, am. So he looked like, you know, he's already touting himself as the Son of Man. He's not saying anything beyond that. You know, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then, you know, one of the disciples said after this way, the other said after that way, and then everybody said, well, this is what all of them are saying. And then, this is what he said in Matthew chapter 16. It was like an opinion poll that he took of his disciples in verse 12. You know, whom do men, verse 13, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said this, you know, the prophet, you're Elijah, you're this and that. So finally he said, all right, well, that's what they say. But whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, there's a lot of us sitting in here today. What do you really think of Jesus? Are you thinking of him as that little baby in that manger, swaddling clothes and so forth, helpless little baby and all of that, you know? Well, that was there. You know, he went to the cross and he said, it is finished. And he finished that chapter that he came in that dispensation. The next time he appeared, he said, I am Alpha and Omega. You know, not a little baby anymore. That's wrong. You know, how many of you can say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
In case you are wondering, I want you to read Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. I'm going to come back to the answer that Peter gave here in a minute. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, And this will fit right here with this message because, you know, of course, you know, people are celebrating Christmas and all. You know, so let's see what he has to say about this child that the whole world is celebrating his birthday. In Isaiah chapter 9, let's read this prophecy about him. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now I want you to think of him as a little baby. That very little baby, he is the very Everlasting Father. You will never find two gods in heaven. There is not enough room in this universe for two gods. Amen, somebody. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the first and I am the last. And he wants me to tell you that this morning. He cannot be the first and be the last unless he's the same person. Amen. Praise God. I remember I asked this question one time. I said, look, everybody that's in this room, if you all filed out of this room right now, and I took note of the first person that left the room, and I also took note of the last person that left the room, and I will ask you all to come back. And if the first person that left the room is also the last person that left the room, then that means there was only one person here. Amen? Hello? That's right. You can't do it. You cannot do it. You cannot have the first and the last be the same person unless it's one person. Praise you in the name of the Lord. It is that simple. So don't be looking for him in a stable. He is risen. And now he has ascended. And God has made all things to be his footstool. And now he has power over all things. Say, behold, I give unto you power. Because I have received that power. He said that all power in heaven and on earth is now given unto me. He got it all. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's the person that we have to deal with. But how did it all happen? Going back to my message. You know, when he asked Peter, you know, well, who am I? And everybody and the disciples, they said one thing or the other. So he said, look, Peter finally said, I tell you what, Lord, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen?
Yeah.
All this business of couching yourself as the Son of Man and so forth. I know who you are. I know you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, wow, you know, I know that flesh and blood and no seminary college could reveal that to you. This had to come from the Holy Ghost. And upon this revelation, not upon Peter, some people think it's Peter. Peter couldn't even save himself. Let alone be the rock upon whom the church will be built. Upon this knowledge and this revelation that Jesus is the Christ, upon that revelation will I build my church. Hallelujah, somebody. And the gates of hell shall not, because of the revelation of whom Jesus is, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Can you say praise the name of the Lord? The Word was made flesh inside of Mary. And not only did God make that word flesh in Mary, he wants that word to become flesh in us. I'm going to read these scriptures to you. I'm going to slow it down now, you know, so that you can hear it clearly. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, I want you to turn to verse 16 of Colossians and see what he says. Because he wants this same word to become flesh in us. Let the word of Christ dwell. That means abide. That means become part of your life. Let it dwell in you richly, in all wisdom and so forth, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and all of that. Let the word of God dwell in you. Let it abide inside of you. Jesus himself said in John chapter 15 and verse 7. He said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide, that's dwell, that's in you, then you can ask anything you want. See, so the secret of getting anything you want from the Lord is for that word to be made flesh in your life. Amen, somebody? In other words, that word has to become flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. You know, one time, Adam, he took a look at Eve when God brought her to him for the first time, and he said, wow, she is now flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. Well, you know, I tell you something too. You know, this word must become a part of your life. Not just something abstract, not just something we read on Sundays, not just something we hear somebody else preach to us. Hello? No, this is something that must become a part of your life. It must enter into your being and become flesh with you. Inseparable, you and the word one. Amen? You say that's deep. Well, listen to this in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. He's going to tell you about the word of the Lord. Listen to this. He said, for the word of God is what? It's quick. That means it is alive. And it is powerful. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And of the joints. It goes inside the joints and the marrows. Now that's the word of God. Amen? If you ever get to the place where you become one, unified with the word, all your prayers are answered, saith the Lord. Because you will speak only his word. Because when that word becomes such a part of you, it goes inside your bones, it goes inside your marrows, it goes inside your joints. It's a designer of even your thoughts and intents, not only of yourself, but even others as well. That word becomes such a part of you, it's inseparable from your heart. You are unified with the word. The word becomes flesh, and you speak only his word. Now this is exactly how when we are born again, this is the process that happens to us. You see, that's the process, that's right. Look at what he says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. So, well, you know, I thought you were going to preach a Christmas message. This is a Christmas message. Amen. And this is what the Lord wanted me to preach. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Listen to what it says. It says, we have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. So you're telling me that we're born again by the word of God? Absolutely, according to this verse. We are born by the incorruptible seed, the word of God. Remember I said the word of God is the original seed? That's how we are born. Not by the will of man, not by the will of flesh. He said, but this word of God liveth and abideth forever. That's inside of you. Praise God. In the book of John chapter 8 and verse 52, Jesus said, if a man keep my sayings, that's right, he shall never see death. When that word becomes such a part of you, it's inseparable. You are transformed already from death unto life. Can you say praise the name of the Lord? The reason sometimes that our prayers are not answered, well, of course, unbelief, that's number one. You know, but that unbelief, you know, it operates because of the absence of the word of God in our being. When the word of God is in your being, that's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 10. It says, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. You know, but when that word begins to come, look, I want you to go beyond just hearing the word of God. You know, I want you to go beyond that. I want you to go to the point where let it be unto me according to thy word. Because that's what Mary said. She heard the word, but she could have not believed it. But of course, God already knew somebody who would believe it. Amen? That's why God went, what? See, the word always goes also to, you know, those that are going to have faith, real faith, you know. The favor of God, you know, also brings the word of God unto us. You know, the angel told Mary, he said, look, fear not because you have found favor with God. And because you have found favor with God, the word of God is coming to become flesh in your life. Now, is there anybody in the house that has found favor with God? Well, I have found favor with God. Praise God. You know, and I know and I understand that that word, you know, I have received that word. He said the word was made flesh, you know, and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. You know, even John, writing of the same thing in the first epistle of John, 1 John, this is the epistle, not the gospel. In verse 1, he says, that which was, this is 1 John, the epistle, not the gospel. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have not only heard, but which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So it's not just some abstract thing. It has become flesh. We handled, we touched, we felt it. Praise God. You know, the beginning of your miracle starts with the word of God. And anything of God must start with word, with his word. The word is the seed. When that seed, when you accept and receive that word, and begin to allow that word to dwell in you richly, Jesus said, then you shall ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. If my words, if ye abide in me, John 15 and 7, and my words abide in you. That's the word of God dwelling in you richly in all wisdom and understanding. For this life was manifested, 1 John 1 and 2, and we have seen it. And we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. You know, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, so that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you tasted, have you handled of the word of God? Has it become a part of your life? Or is it a part of your life only on Sundays when you come to church? What about on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and the rest of the week when you are not at church? What about when you are on your job, at school, or wherever you are? Is that word such a part of you? Jesus one time, you know, they asked him all kinds of things, you know, and of course, you know, he never wanted to give away too much about himself all at once, you know, so he would, you know, he didn't say very much most of the time. He just said, you know, I'm Son of Man and so forth, you know, but one time he told them, look, I came forth and proceeded out of God. And he said, I and my Father are one. And he began to tell him, he said, look, I cannot but testify to the truth. I can't do anything against the truth, you know. And they said, look, everything you've said may be all right, but this business about you and God being one, that's why they wanted to kill him. You know, because, of course, he told them the way it was. Say, I am from above, and ye are from beneath. He told them just like that. See? Now, what do you do when you are on your job? What do you do even in your house? What do you do if all of a sudden, you know, you feel sick, or you have this pain, or your child falls sick, or somebody in your family? What do you do? You know, what do you do? Are you going to remember the word of the Lord that was made flesh? Are you going to remember that this word of God abided forever? Are you going to remember that the Bible says, by whose stripes you are already healed? Or are you going to begin to run helter-skelter? See, if you begin to run helter-skelter in the face of a challenge or a problem, then the word has not yet become flesh in you. Because you are looking outside for the solution. The kingdom of God is within. The word of God is already in you, if it is. Let that word dwell richly in you. And when challenges or whatever happens around you comes, you dig down inside. And it's like a well of water springing up unto eternal life from the inside. Hallelujah. That's right. He said, you know, that even the Holy Spirit, you know, and so forth, that he's given in John 7. He said, it'll be like a well of water springing up inside of you unto eternal life. You know, it must, everything about God, you must receive and it must become a part of you. You have to be identified with the word. You cannot receive that word, you know, at a distance and then just, you know, be the hearers of the word and not doers of the same. Well, that's not going to help you very much. You've got to not only receive the word, but you've got to open up your heart. Let that word dwell richly in you and practice the word of God. Practice the spirit of the Lord. Amen. You say practice the word of God? Absolutely. Just say what God said. That's what it means to practice the word of God. You say what God said. You know, you may be feeling ill, you know, but you say, I am healed. Amen. That's right. And that's not mind over matter. That is the word becoming flesh in you. You know, when things are not going right, you stick to the word of God. You deep down, you see, in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, he said, you know, though, you know, there's the wells of salvation. With joy, we will draw waters from those wells. Those wells that are inside of you. You go down and you bring forth, my God shall supply all of my needs. Even when the enemy says, well, you're not going to have money to pay your rent. You deep down inside. And draw waters out of that well that is bubbling inside of you already. And you say, my God, he shall supply all of my needs. Not according to my job. Not according to the money that I have or don't have. But according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? And every situation is the same. When that word, you know, sometimes, you know, things happen around you and the enemy beat up on you and so forth, and it looks like you don't have joy. You say, oh no. You know, you say, therefore shall the ransomed of the Lord, the ransomed, the redeemed of the Lord, return unto Zion. I'm coming back to my place. And everlasting joy shall be upon my head. Sorrow and gladness shall flee away. Hallelujah. You know, and then when the enemy, when you find yourself in any kind of trouble, sometimes people get into trouble because of foolishness, a lack of wisdom, and all of that. But nonetheless, you know, you reach deep down into those wells. You get a hold of that flesh, that word that has become part of your flesh. Amen, somebody? Amen. And you say, the Lord, he pulled me out of the miry clay. You begin to declare it to yourself. He set my feet upon the rock to stay and put a new song in my mouth. And I'm going to shout glory to God, hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I've heard that at Christmas time, across the country and so forth, you know, that's the time that there's most depression, you know. Has anybody ever heard that? Yeah, I've heard that, you know, people are mostly depressed. You know, that the depressing spirit, you know, that spirit of suicide and all kinds of things, that old double-crossing devil, that's what I call it, you know, he comes mostly upon those people at that time, and he tries to ruin their life and end them and just drive them to an early grave so that they don't get saved. And what is it? Maybe because they didn't receive a few gifts, you know, and so on, you know. But is that what this Bible says that this season should be? Well, let me declare to you, you know, what this season should be. If you want to turn with me again back to Luke, at this time in chapter 2 of Luke, let me declare to you, you know, what the Bible says that, you know, this season should be. This is not a season, you know, of sorrow or sadness. Of course, for the real elect of God, you know, the joy of the Lord should be your strength every day. Amen. Shouldn't be only on Christmas or whatever else, you know, and so forth. But listen to what the angels declared to the to the shepherds that were keeping their flock by night. And suddenly, verse 13 of Luke chapter 2, there was with the angels and so forth. You know, say there was with the angels a... let me go back to verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. Now, these were the shepherds that were keeping their flocks in the field by night. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Can I get an amen on that? Good tidings. That's what the angel brought. Not depression and all of these things that people put themselves into. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, according to the prophecy that out of Bethlehem shall come forth a ruler that will be unto me, whose goings have been from of old. Of is born this day the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he said, and suddenly, verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Can I get a church to say that with me? Glory to God in the highest. That's right. That's the first thing. You cannot have this peace and goodwill of sending gifts to all of that without first giving glory to God. It's not going to work. You know, listen to the way they put it. They put it in perspective. First, glory to God in the highest, and then on earth, peace and goodwill toward all men. But if you leave the glory to God part out of Christmas, you young kids and so forth, you know, and everybody else for that matter, and all you're interested in is the peace and goodwill, well, you cannot have that peace and goodwill without the Prince of Peace. For unto us a son is given, a child is born, and he shall be called the Prince of Peace. First, you give the glory to God in the highest. If you want to exchange gifts and all that, that's your business. You know, I'm not worried about that. You know, but I want everybody to give glory to God, because Christ was born to die. He said, this commandment I have received of my Father, that I lay down my life and I take it again. Hallelujah. For the remission of the sins of the world. And even John, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of all the world. That's the reason that Jesus came. And that's the reason we ought to celebrate. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the reason you ought to celebrate, you know, and, you know, not just about the giving of gifts and so forth, you know, and all that. So, you know, and that's wonderful. You know, and some people say, well, you know, why do you celebrate Christmas? Well, you know, Jesus wasn't born on Christmas Day. I know that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. I know that for a fact. I can prove that to you in the scriptures. But that's not my subject today. But I don't care what day it is they choose to celebrate it. I don't even care if Christmas, you know, came, it was the origin from, pagan Rome and all that. You know, that's the people that don't know who he is. Amen, somebody. You know, hey, look, you know, I don't care what somebody else does. That's because they are still in darkness. But I know the light. And if I choose to celebrate Christmas, I know exactly what I am celebrating. Can I get an amen from that? Praise God. You know, so if you don't want to celebrate it, that's fine too. The Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded in his mind. One man observes a day, another doesn't observe it. Let everyone be fully persuaded in his mind. Amen? Amen. Praise God. You know, so you know, nobody can judge me in respect of a moon or holy day or Christmas or whatever. Hey, I love Christmas carols. In fact, I'm going to sing a Christmas carol for the kids at the end of this message. Amen? Praise God. Just to show you, I'm no Scrooge. I love Christmas carols and so forth, but I don't care whether I get gifts or I don't get it. After all, it's not my birthday, amen? Amen. Why should I be the one getting the gifts? Hey, kids, it's not your birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. You better give the gifts to him, amen? Praise God. Well, you know, hey, it's the truth. It is not your birthday. You know, well, maybe... Oh, is there anybody here today whose birthday is December 25? Can I say a show of hands? Today, December 25. Look at that. Well, I have a nephew whose birthday is December 25. And I'm going to call him, you know, when I get home. You know, so it is his birthday today, so he should get some gifts. But I don't know about the rest of you. It's not even your birthday. So you can give all those gifts to me. I'll take them. Praise God. Well, you know, I just said that to be funny and all of that. But you get the point. Whether you get the gifts or you don't get the gifts, whether you give that or you don't give that, that's not what Christmas is all about. You know, Jesus came into this world for one purpose, to lay down his life, to bring the people out of darkness into light, to open their eyes and their understanding, so that the people that sit in the shadow of death and sit in darkness may see a great light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And he said, look, this is a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. No, so at this time of Christmas and celebration and so forth, we should be sharing the light, but we should be rejoicing in his glory. Amen? For those who are still in darkness, you share the light. You let the light shine. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of this world. And when he was leaving, he turned to his disciples and said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You better shine. Amen? Turn on the darkness. Turn on the light and let the darkness flee, is what I meant to say. Turn on the light. Hallelujah. The way you get out, the way you get rid of darkness is to turn on the light. Amen. Can I get an amen on that?
Yeah.
And I said one time, and I'll say it again, darkness is nothing but the absence of light. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
There is no substance to darkness at all. You know, light is the one that is the substance. In fact, the light, capital L, was the life of man. Hallelujah. The condemnation that men have is because they chose to reject the light and to remain in darkness. That's their condemnation. But for us who have received the mercy of God, hallelujah, in him is no darkness at all. Now, if you let that word dwell richly in you from day to day, if you let the word of God become part of your flesh, a part of your bones. My goodness. You know, and I thought of that last night, and as I was thinking about this message, and the Lord said, well, you know, flesh of your flesh now. Bone of your bone. And I said, well, I remember that in the scripture, and I thought he was talking of something else. You know, but he said, never mind that, you know. Never mind Adam and Eve. Never mind husband and wife. I'm talking about you and the world becoming one. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the only way that you have the real eternal life. That's what John said. He said, that was the eternal life. It is the word of God. Praise God. And that's the true God. And he is the eternal life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And this is 1 John, again, the epistle, not the gospel. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And remember that John was an eyewitness of all of the things that happened. And he said, look, the things that we have tasted, the things that we have touched, the things that we have handled of the word of life, these are the things that we are declaring unto you. And listen to one of these declarations that he will make here as well. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true. Amen? Are you in him that is true, somebody? Even in his Son Jesus Christ. Now, this knowledge of knowing who he is true and being in Christ is what brings eternal life. Because listen to this. He said, you know, even in his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Can I get an amen on that? This is the true God and eternal life, my lambs. And Jesus himself said, ye call me Lord and Master. And so I am. You know, even though he laid down his life, even though he was humble like that and so forth, but that was the living word. You know, wrapped up in one. All the essence of God. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. In Him dwell in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Both the Logos, which some people say that's the reading word. Both the Rhema, which some people say that's the spoken word. Whatever it is, it's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah, somebody. The Word, which was God from the beginning, became flesh, and He dwelt among us. Have you seen the Word lately? Praise God. Have you seen the Word lately? Well, let me tell you how to see the Word. You look in the mirror, said the Lord. If He is flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone, you look in the mirror. Amen, somebody. My glance, I never thought of that. That's the spirit of prophecy, brother. That, you know, I didn't have that written. I never thought of that. But how does the world then see the Word? That's what I wanted to say. You know, they look at a believer. It's what I wanted to say, but the Lord, He just brought that in. You know, so how does the world see the Word? Is Jesus coming back to walk the roads of Phoenix again? Is He going to be born in a manger again today? And then the wise man from the east will go and give Him some gifts again today, right here in Phoenix, or anywhere in the world, or Bethlehem for that matter? No. That's not. Amen? Ye are now my witnesses, saith the Lord. Ye are the bearers of God's glory, and you the bearers of His name. And as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Just like He became, the Word of God became flesh in Him. That Word must become flesh in us, unified with the Word of God. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. And let everybody put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning. Amen. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Unified with the Word of God. He said the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, in a time like this, and in every service, of course, we never want to leave the service without giving somebody a chance to give their life to Christ or to rededicate your life to Christ. You know, the preaching of the gospel is the setting free of people from darkness unto light. That's what it's all about. And little children, those of you who are in here today, you know, I'm sure some of you probably got your gifts. You know, last night or today, or maybe when you get home, you get them, whatever. I'll tell you something. And everybody else that's still looking for a gift, you know, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I've got the best gift for you. Praise God. You know, if you have God, then you got everything. Can I get an amen on that? Oh yes. You got God. You got everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. You don't need to get one or two or three of the things that God owns. You just need to have the one that owns everything. Then everything is yours. Praise God. You know, isn't that wonderful? You know, praise God. I'm reminded of a story one time. You know, they said there was a man, you know, that had a servant and, you know, son, and he loved his servant, he loved his son too, and he was very rich, you know, and so forth, and he was about to die, and he said to his son, he said, look, I want you to choose one thing of all that I have, and after you choose that one, you can only pick one thing, and after you choose that one thing, everything else belongs to my servant. So you pick one thing, and then my servant gets everything else. Wow. Hello? So he thought about it for a while. He said, how can I just get one thing and he gets everything else? He said, well, that's the way it is. You know, because I'm the one that's making the rules. You pick one thing and he gets everything else. He said, all right. Well, I pick the Sabbath. Amen? Can you say amen? Praise God. That's right. He got the servant, so he got everything else that the servant got. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, so if you get the one that has everything, then you got everything. How many of you understand that? Put your hands together if you understand that. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. So you never worry about one little gift and little thing over here. You got everything. Away in a manger, no creed for a man. God lead to Lord Jesus, lay down his sweet head. The stars in the bright skies look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Away a manger, no creed for a bed. A little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright skies look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Well, I said I was going to sing a Christmas carol, so I kept my promise. Well, but it's no longer in the manger. Praise the Lord. But it's good for the little kids, you know, to think of him like that and so forth. So we use that to tell the stories about Jesus and try to make them realize that Jesus really came like a person. Because otherwise it would be too abstract for the little kids. But there are a lot of us in here that are not little kids. Amen, somebody. Don't be thinking of Jesus in that swaddling clothes anymore. He is the Master. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. The Bible says that in fact, all the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of the Lord and of his Christ. He gets everything on. Everything. God has exalted him, giving him everything. And not only did God give him everything, he gave us to sit with him, joint heirs, so that we possess all things with him. Hallelujah, somebody. He said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I am Alpha and Omega. And I will grant to him that overcometh to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame, and I am set with my Father in his throne. Why don't you lift your hands up, be here this morning, and say, thank you, Jesus, for setting me free, from taking me from darkness unto light. And I want you, Lord, I want you to pray this prayer. Let that word, let your word dwell richly in me. Hallelujah. I want you to begin every day, give yourselves to the word of God and to prayer, so that the word of God might dwell richly in you. Hallelujah. And I am going to pray for everyone here this morning. And I'm going to ask that the light of God's word will shine in your heart this morning, to give you an understanding concerning this word that we have preached this morning. How that the word of God must become flesh in your life. Inseparable. One with the Father. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Well, are you and the word of God one in here this morning? Or does God's word say one thing and you go in a different direction? You know, praise God. And not only when we are asking things from God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. It's not only when you want to ask things from God that you quote his word. You must also quote his word when he says that, look, you must obey all of my statutes and all of my commandments and do according to all that's written in the word of God. Hallelujah. You must quote his word when he says, in him is light, and in him, he is the light, and in him is no darkness at all. You must quote that word for yourself. When the enemy brings a temptation to you, you say, no, God is light. Amen? And that light is dwelling in me, and in him is no darkness at all. And you walk the paths of righteousness every day of your life. You let your light shine, so that men may see it and give glory to our Father which is in heaven. Give the Lord a hand clap in here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that the word of God will dwell richly in all hearts here this morning. And not only this morning, but this is the beginning. Let that word continue to dwell richly in our hearts by faith in Jesus' mighty name. And help us to grow thereby. Grow through the word of God. The Bible says you are born not of corruptible seed, but of the word of God which abideth forever. Let that word grow in us. Grow in us every day, and let us grow in that word as well. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you the praise and the glory. And we thank you, Lord, for what you did in coming into this world to carry away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb that carries away the sins of the world. And I thank you because you carried away my sins. Is there anybody else here that Jesus has carried away your sins? Is there anybody else here that Jesus carried away your sins? Come on, give the Lord some praise in the house. If Jesus carried away your sins, that is the guarantee that we have forgiveness of sins. Amen. God told Paul, he said, look, to open their eyes and to bring them from darkness unto light, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and become part of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, so that is the thing. God has given us forgiveness of our sins. Hallelujah. And we praise his holy name. I want all of you to have a very Merry Christmas. Enjoy the time with your family. But remember, first, glory to God in the highest. And then, goodwill and peace upon earth to all men. And as you go this morning, I want to ask that the grace and mercy of God go with each and every one of you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Give everybody a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's share the grace together, everybody. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Now surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry, Merry Christmas, everybody. God bless you all. Amen.